Done. Morning, the Green. Colloquially known, aren't you? It's lovely to be invited to share with you this morning. You'll see my wife pop her head in occasionally, and I'm going to get her to do something later on. My wife and I were around at the Green probably 12 or 13 years ago, so we know a lot of faces, and we connect in with churches together in Orpington. But in fact, we go to a church in central London, which is very bizarre, but there we go. And we actually live very near Orpington train station. I just thought I'd share something initially before I get on. I'm very, very grateful to the Lord. I have been a long distance runner over the years. And I don't know whether people are aware of park runs that happen in Goddington Park and Norman Park and Hobbling Well Wood and things like that. I was on a park run on the 8th of February and I collapsed having had a stroke. Very, very surprisingly, because running is supposed to be good for you, but I had a minor stroke and it has affected me in a little bit of a way. That's why I'm going to get my wife Dawn to read a couple of pieces out of Ephesians 4, which is where we're going to go initially. So I said to David, I had a bit of a title for the talk, and you're going to get enthusiasm from me this morning, and I'm going to share about the work of CAP in the country and locally. But I definitely wouldn't say I'm the world's polished preacher, because I'm certainly not, but you'll get enthusiasm and passion from me. So we're going to look at something in Ephesians 4, but I thought I'd entitle the talk "For Such a Time as This." For such a time as this. I thought this was a good title for this unprecedented time. And I thought I'd ask you, how are you all doing? How are you all doing? I'm sure we would get many different answers if I went around the room or I looked at all the pictures in front of me on the screen and asked you. Some people would be honest, some possibly not so honest. I'm just picturing the phrases that people say on Sunday mornings. How are you? I'm all right, thank you. Some people find it difficult to express how they're really feeling, to express honestly their emotions. I have some other suggestions for the title of my talk this morning. It could be, are you equipped? Or it could be about maturity. So a lot of what I'm sharing will be taken initially from Ephesians 4. I'm just going to get my wife to read out Ephesians 4. This is lovely, Dawn. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16.
It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
So, the Green church community, are you equipped? Are you equipped? Do you feel you're using the tool that God has specifically given to you at this time? Not tools that he has given to anybody else, but tools that he's given to you. Because when the Lord uses you, he uses you in your way, with your skills and your experience. So how have you been in lockdown? Have you been people that are popping out to the supermarket to help neighbours? Have you been giving financially more? Have you been praying more? Did you know that we're all saints and that God equips us? I've shared a picture many times over the years of a workman who has a belt around his waist with tools in various pockets. You can probably picture the one that I mean. So which tools have you used? Are some of your tools dusty? Are some of them rusty? Do they need oiling? For such a time as this, you are a saint, people at the Green. You're all saints. God has and will do and does equip you. God has and will do and does equip you. Just going to get Dawn to read from Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 25.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, didn't come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body.
For such a time as this. It was interesting, Johan read out of the Message version earlier on, and I've looked at that passage, verses 17 to 25, and I've read a little bit. I'm going to get read out to you now again something from the Message version covering that as well. Passing on to Dawn again.
But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you paid careful attention to him, being well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we don't have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old life has to go. And Martin's added, that's very challenging. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, the God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character into you.
For such a time as this. Challenging in the message version there. It will mean different things to each one listening. Everything connected with the old life has to go. Everything connected with the old life has to go. I'll just pause and be quiet for a minute and let the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. Lord, we need your help. Shake us up. We want to change. Thank you that you are for us. Thank you that you're a good, good Father. Help us to repent. We cry out to you at this time for mercy. I love the last line in the message. Do you want God to accurately reproduce his character in you? Do you want God to accurately reproduce his character in you? And I imagine we're all praying that as I read that out a second time. Like a lot of you, I'm sure you're at home and doing the same things as we are. My wife and I have been praying and reflecting on some of the ways we're doing things differently in this lockdown time. Some of the different disciplines that we're putting into our daily times at certain times of the day that we endeavour to keep in place, that we think have been good for us. It says in verse 21, the Lord's hand is on you. He has taught you. Church at the Green, you beloved in him. And we see the evidence of God's grace in our lives, his undeserved favour, in verse 23, as he renews our minds. Are you sensing and experiencing the Holy Spirit at this time in your lives? I think we are all seeing at this time the great partnership between God and man. Our churches are closed, but we are seeing God using his people in many ways. I could talk about how the churches are feeding people at this time, how we're engaging the homeless across the borough, how we're listening to the blessing, also done by children or different versions from around the world. But I have the privilege of working for Christians Against Poverty in Bromley. Some of you may have heard me talk a couple of years back here at the Green, so I'll just explain briefly how we help people in debt and then say where we're at across the borough. So I visit people in their homes normally on three occasions, and I take them through a process, finding out what their debts are, what they spend their money on. On the third visit, I present a budget with a suggested route out of debt. This has been given to me by head office. Oh, that's our phone. We'll go and answer that. This has been produced to me by head office. The difficult work engaging with creditors and the client's debts is done by the head office up in Bradford. I often refer to those people up there that talk funny, but I get Welsh accents from people in Bradford as well. It's a privilege to go into people's homes. Every time I visit a client, I bring hope and the love of Jesus into their homes. I take with me a local church person to where they live, and we get to pray for them. That's just absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to do. No one said no yet. I've prayed in people's homes that are from a Muslim background. Obviously, at this time during lockdown, we've had to do things slightly differently. I'm phone-based. It doesn't stop me praying for them. Only last week, I seemingly had a negative lady send me a text after speaking to her on the phone for an hour and a half. And she said, thank you, Martin, for the phone meeting today. It has made me feel a lot more positive about my debt. And the first thing I'd done was, since your call, was to set up an email address. This is obviously very important. This lady shared about being in a relationship where there'd been some domestic violence. She was working but on a low wage. Since her relationship had broken up, there was now only one wage coming into the house. It's worth it just for responses that you're not expecting, people like this lady. I love telling people Jesus loves them as much as he loves me and as much as he loves you at the Green. CAP across the country from the head office in Bradford are bigger than all of this, not just me. I'm going to read a long quote from head office, which will be of interest to you. They have departments at head office influencing government, people lobbying about things that concern you and I as good Christian people. It says in Proverbs 31 that we should speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, ensure justice for those being crushed. There's an external affairs team at head office, and it's there to serve its clients and partner churches by advocating, influencing, and affecting change where it most needs to happen. It's the poorest in our communities who will find it most difficult to stay afloat in the face of rising household costs due to school closures and being at home more. last week, working with teams across CAT, we published a policy statement outlining where more support is needed to help financially affected people by coronavirus. What's the response so far? In many ways, we've seen the government, essential service providers and lenders act with a new level of compassion and concern for financial well-being in response to the coronavirus outbreak. It's encouraging to see organisations we have worked with for many years act proactively to support their customers during this time. I would suggest people in the Green and churches across the country have been praying for justice at this time. The Financial Conduct Authority, I describe them as the money police, has instructed banks and lenders to provide up to 3 month payment holidays and waive interest on overdrafts. All enforcement agent visits, you and I call them bailiffs, have stopped, and the Department of Work and Pensions has paused most deductions from debts from benefit payments. The government has also introduced a much needed £20 per week boost to universal credit and tax credits for the next 12 months and increased the generosity of housing benefit increases through updating the local housing allowance rate. CAP, a concern for the forgotten. This is all fantastic and this will benefit so many of our clients and people in our communities, but there are some people who have been forgotten and that is not okay. We're hearing from clients barely surviving, having lost their job or not eligible for the increased benefit rate. One such client described the prospect of an extra £20 a week as a lifesaver, but instead they faced a choice between using the little money they had for heating or food. That's what head office does, as well as helping me on a day-to-day basis, some of those things. So moving on to talk locally. So in Bromley, we were set up by five central Bromley churches, and we've been going now 3 years. We've had 13 people become debt-free through our services, and 20 people are currently paying into what's described as a CAP plan to pay off their debts. Several of these people will become debt-free in the next few months, and I'll tell you a story about one of them later on. We're sensing at this time that there will be many more requiring our service. Many of you know there's a CAP job club run out of the Unity Church on the Ramsden Estate, and people from this church, your church, help volunteer with that. And it was lovely when this started almost a couple of years ago now, to see five or six local Orpington churches supporting the work when it started. It's a lovely story of churches working in partnership. Some of you will know that the job club manager, Terry, has been looking for someone to take over from him. And he has various medical issues. So it's a bit of an advert, me saying that right now. If there's people there that might be interested in doing that, please speak to me or Dave Wood later on. But actually, Terry has just been in hospital because he's actually, and his wife have had COVID-19. But he's reasonably fit and well. I was in a Zoom meeting with him on Friday. He's doing quite well. So, but please continue to pray about that and that God provides the right person to run this job club. We're also in discussions at the moment to run another job club in central Bromley. We're already fortnightly have been invited to run a stall in the job centre in central Bromley, and it would be lovely to advertise our debt services there more often, and obviously lovely to send them to a job club around the corner in central Bromley. CAP also run other projects that I'd like you to perhaps consider starting at the Green maybe, or doing with other churches. They run other projects called a Fresh Start course. This is to help people out of addiction. And they also run something called a life skills course. All of these courses seem to be much more effective than secular run courses because the volunteer staff care and are praying for their clients. CAP Bromley Partnership are keen that churches across the borough might set these up or in partnership with other churches. So I have people from 17 local churches coming to visit clients near to them. The church is helping us financially and praying. So Mindful of the Future, CAP locally, have also recently put forward two ladies to be trained by head office to give debt advice, like me. One lady from a church in Downham and another lady from Christchurch in Orpington. And we are looking to be able to see more clients when they're fully trained up across the borough. But obviously this will cost more money. They will take on some of my work and I'll be freed up to network and to fundraise and to raise the profile of CAP locally. If we see more clients, I'm going off script here now. If we see more clients, we would obviously need to send more money up to head office because we pay them half of the money raised locally in Bromley. We pay for the services that CAP do for us, engaging with creditors and sending me out a budget. I'm going to share a couple of stories now. I heard a story recently of a debt advisor and a male befriender visiting a male client. While they were making a cup of tea in the client's kitchen, they could hear the client begin to cry in the other room. They both went back into the main room to comfort the client and asked what the matter was. The client replied, "I heard you laughing in the kitchen. And I realized that this was the first time I'd heard laughter in my house for over 3 years." It touches me as I read that. We do take some things for granted. How many people have laughed in your house this morning? We never know what we're going to bring to people. I love to see people's body language change when I'm with them. They sit up straight. They become more confident. They even smile or laugh. Got a story of a guy locally in Bromley as well. It's a guy that was picked up by Bromley Homeless Shelter originally, and he quickly shared that he had some financial issues, and they linked him in with me, and he was being supported by a church in the sort of Bromley Petswood area. He started going to this church. We started helping him. This is all probably in the last 9 months, actually. He met another church person, and Dave Wood knows about this, and you guys know about it, at the Turning. He was approached in Bromley High Street. He'd been going to church for a while, but he answered all the questions and asked Jesus into his life there. A few weeks later at his church, the person next to him put his hand on his back and prayed for him, and he felt heat on his back, and he was healed of a back problem. He felt that he should stop smoking, and he asked the Lord then, please do not give me the desire to smoke the following morning. God helped him give up smoking the next day. He didn't have any desire at all. A week or so later, he was sharing what had happened to him on the top deck of a bus to a lady, and the lady next to him started crying. And this guy's now an active member of his church. And on Friday, I was told that he was going debt-free as well. God changes people's lives today through CAP. And it's very exciting. I'm probably getting emotional as I'm speaking here, because it is really exciting. CAP helped 250 people become debt-free every month. There are 300 offices like me. Sometimes they've got more than one debt advisor. But they help 250 people become debt-free each month. 1,100 people became Christians and were added to church communities across Britain last year. CAP is now in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and recently opened up two offices in America. So to finish, just as lockdown was happening, we were due to have a CAP money course over two Saturday mornings at the Green, at your church. So this was happening, and it will be happening when we return to back to semi-normal. And if any of you want to help, or perhaps are interested in becoming a CAP money course trainer, please let David know or myself. And I'm going to come and speak to you, Johan, because you've already confessed training it somewhere else. So I'll come and chat to you about that. We still need people to pray for the work of CAP, to volunteer as befrienders, to give financially to the work, especially as we're expanding. Probably some of you give to CAP nationally, which is great. But as I said earlier, locally, half of our money raised also goes to head office to pay for the work that they do on behalf of clients and to engage with government and to lobby Parliament. But we would like to see expansion, and we need more monthly giving locally to do this, to be able to see more clients each month and to support more churches in setting up other CAP services across the borough. If you've got any questions, David's got my email. He can forward anything on to me. It's been a pleasure speaking and a privilege speaking to you guys this morning. I'm just going to pray. Thank you. Father, thank you for all the work that happens at the Green, all of your people that are willing to serve their local community. Father, we thank you for the work of CAP and some of the clients that have had lives changed locally. Father, we're also conscious about people suffering at this time, friends and family with health issues, people struggling with finances and being furloughed. We lift these situations up that are dear to us, and we ask you to come and bring healing and your mercy at this time. Father, we thank you again that you're a good, good Father. And we just want to say this morning that we love you. Amen. Thank you.